Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 12. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In these seven letters to the seven churches in Asia, we have three things. First of all, we have the history of past churches. Secondly, we have the future of prophetic churches. And thirdly, we have the experience of present churches. And you'll notice in these letters at least four things. First of all, they are golden candlesticks, and they're set for the display of the glory of God. Secondly, they are lampstands, and they're set to shine in the darkness of the night. Thirdly, we discover that they are a divine testimony. They are for him here below. But fourthly, we have the heavenly hope in each of these letters, For we are soon to be with Him where He is. Now for a little while I would like to look at the fourth one of these four that I've mentioned, the heavenly hope. We've already noticed that the purpose of Abraham the father was to secure a bride for one to whom he had given everything. And Rebekah was to share with Isaac all that was his, and everything was his. For Abraham was heir of all that he surveyed, and he made Isaac the heir of all that he had. But we notice that though Rebekah was one at the well, and then she consented in the home, for the mission of the servant was twofold. First to meet her need, and then to meet the need of his master. And although he met her at the well, he disclosed a secret to her in the house. And the secret was that Isaac was to have a bride. Would she be his bride? Will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. And then from that moment on, there was the ministry of the servant. For all the way, the servant led her through the desert road. Now he didn't interest Rebekah with the politics of Mesopotamia. She had left that. She had left her father's house. She had left everything for someone she had never seen. Her heart was won, and that was the servant's work. Two girls were seeking to add to their Sunday school class, and so they went from house to house, and they both came to one place where a wealthy man lived. He was a widower, and he had a little girl. And after much persuasion, he allowed her to go to Sunday school. She came home one Sunday and, sitting on his lap, looked into his face and said, Daddy, do you love Jesus? And he said, No. But why don't you love Jesus? Because you cannot love someone you've never seen. But Daddy, you mean that? Yes, I do, and I'm sorry I sent you there. You cannot love someone you've never seen. But, Daddy, do you believe I love Mother? Yes, of course I do. She was the darlingest woman that ever lived. I miss her so much. But, Daddy, I never saw her. She died when I was a tiny little baby, and I don't remember Mother. But shall I tell you why I love Mother? It's because that's all you talk about. And do you know why I love Jesus? Because that's all the Sunday school teacher talks about. Jesus, Jesus. And all that the servant was interested in was two things. First of all, Rebekah, I want you to know the person. And second, I want you to be familiar with the place before you get there. And so his ministry all along the way was Isaac. No one ever had a bridegroom like that. From the altar to the home, pressed to the father's bosom, heir of all. And he had a story to tell. But then he described the heights of Canaan, so different from the lowlands of Mesopotamia. Now sometimes we sing, what will it be to dwell above and with the Lord of glory reign? And there's very little written in the Word of God concerning heaven. Our brother told you that. I think you could include in one chapter all that's written about heaven. But there are glories associated with our Lord Jesus Christ that we can understand. And I want to suggest that in these seven letters to the churches, we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, as we had the ministry of the servant to Rebecca. And we begin these letters with a description of our beloved, and they close with a vision of the blessed hope, the glory that awaits us. Now, I would like to look at these. I call them peaks into heaven. And to get a vision of the man in the glory, and then to get a vision of what awaits us when we're with him, would keep us from being lured by the glory of this world or troubled by the events that are happening in this scene. Our hearts will be lifted upward, heavenward, and our eyes will be directed toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In the first of these seven words to the churches and to us, we have the paradise of God. And it's in contrast to the home that God made for man. God created the earth as a home for man, and he placed Adam in it. And in the midst of that paradise was the tree of life. But we find a slimy trail leading away from that tree. For there's a woman who listens to the voice of the serpent, and she follows in that slimy trail. And there's a man who follows that woman, and he, being Lord of creation, he drags the whole creation into the darkness of a night that is continued until this present time. We're looking for the morning star, and then we're looking for the sun to shine. And when our Lord Jesus Christ comes as the Son of Righteousness, he's going to drive out of the scene all the lords of darkness that have ruled the night, and he will reign until all his enemies are made his footstool. And so in hope we lift our wishful, longing eyes, waiting to see the morning star arise. How bright, how gladsome will that advent be before the sun shines forth in majesty. But the day of the Lord is coming. It begins in judgment, ends in judgment, but during its day the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And I say, hallelujah! That's our hope. But why did Eve listen to the serpent? Because she was off-center. I wonder if we are sometimes. In the center of that paradise was the tree of life. In the center of the heavenly paradise is the tree of life. In the center of everything is Christ. She was off-center. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden, we cannot eat. And the devil gets everyone today off-center. Knowledge instead of Christ. What did she have to do with the knowledge of evil? What did she have to do with the knowledge of good? As long as she could feed upon the tree of life and enjoy fellowship with God. But she exchanged for that the knowledge of evil that controlled her and the knowledge of good that she was unable to perform. But it's reversed here. Here is a bridegroom who has been to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For at the cross I see how good God is and how evil man is. And that cross has become for us the tree of life. And we have a bridegroom who has won his bride through the suffering of death. And unlike Adam, who identified himself with the object of his love but could not lift her out of those depths, our Lord Jesus Christ has gone into the very depths to lift us out of it and to lead us to the paradise of God, the tree of life. And are you going to grasp the fruit from the tree of life? No. He's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you. You like that picture? I'd like to preach on that all morning, but I'm not going to. You want to get the second vision? In the second look, we have a crown of life. The tree of life, a crown of life. How is that crown won? We have nothing to do with the tree of life, that sovereign grace that brings us to glory. But there's something you can win, the crown of life. And our Lord Jesus Christ has a crown awaiting. Oh, you say martyrs. Yes, but the very crown of life that's given to the suffering in Smyrna is promised to those who love him in James. You know something? It's easier to die for him than to live for him. It's easier in one moment to be killed and go to glory than to be on a bed of suffering for years. Did you ever notice in Colossians that Paul prays that we may be strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory? All the might of God and all the power of God resident in a vessel here. What for? To preach mighty sermons? No. To cause? No. Tell them what it is. All the power of God and all the power of the glory for patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. For we mean more to God than what we do. And there's many a suffering saint that's going to get more reward in heaven than Billy Graham or Peter Peck or brother, what's your first name? You agree with me, don't you? Oh, dear saint of God. But you know something? Each of us will receive a crown. But what are you going to look at? Not at the crown he giveth, but at his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. But you know, although it's the path of suffering that leads to the place where suffering's unknown, and no one is ever denied the privilege of suffering with Christ. So many say if we suffer for Christ, that isn't what it says. If we suffer with him. You can't suffer alone. It's impossible for a Christian to suffer alone. It's impossible for me to have any pain in my body, but it registers up here. And our head in heaven feels what every member. That's grand, isn't it?
It sure is.
But he has been not only through all of it, he's been in the deepest, the second death. And maybe I'm using my imagination here. But when my blessed Lord gives me that crown, which I won't wear very long, for the supreme moment is not when he gives us the crown, it's when we step off the throne and lay the crown at his feet. But when he gives the crown, we'll say, what's that? That's the darkness of the second death. Is there pain there? Yes. Hurt of the second death. Do you hear the weeping and the gnashing of teeth? Oh, blessed be God, the salvation that has secured me from that. But that's where thou wast for me, blessed Lord. We'll never, never, never forget in glory what it cost him to bring us there. He was hurt of the second death. Peak number three, all right? Verse 17. Three things here. Appropriation, approval, appreciation. I will give to eat of the hidden manna. That's appropriation. We'll give him a white stone. That's approval. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. That's appreciation. What's hidden manna? You remember that God gave to his people manna in the wilderness. I'm not going to go in details. I just wanted to tell you that it was daily grace for daily need. That's all they needed was the manna. And the manna speaks of Christ in humiliation. Christ down here and feed upon the manna. If you haven't got any patience, he has. If you have any strength, he has. The manna is Christ meeting our need as we are a pilgrim people through this work. When they got into the land, they had the old corn of the land. But the manna came down from heaven on the dew, and they gathered it to meet their need. But God said, put some in the golden casket for me. That was the hidden manna. And the hidden manna speaks of what Christ means to God. He found delight in the one who did his will here below. There were 30 years of hidden life in Nazareth, the most despised town in all the world. But heaven's gaze was on that despicable town. They say to this day it's dirty. I don't know about that. I heard Stephen Alford say it, and he must know about it. But there's nothing worth looking at in Nazareth. But all heaven saw a person in Nazareth whose one objective was the will of God. He was a carpenter. But God found delight in him. And that pathway here below will be remembered forever and ever when we contemplate our Lord Jesus as the one who was here on earth. Manna in heaven, but the hidden manna. Now maybe I haven't made that clear. I want to give you a simple illustration of it. I like music. But maybe I better take something that I'm more familiar with. Art. Now I do a little painting and a little drawing. My boy's ahead of me. And I look at his. But then he brings me to a real artist, and I say, I wish I could see in that picture what he sees in it. He's a little fellow, and he sees a little dog in that picture, and say, oh, that's nice. I see the mind of the artist expressed in that picture, but I see much more in that. For years, I was under the ministry of a brother, and I said, Lord, I wish I could appreciate Christ as he does. I'm going to appreciate Christ as God does. Do you get it? Do you get it? Wouldn't that be wonderful? The little I know of him now satisfies. It does. And you can say, farewell, farewell, poor faithless world, with all thy boasted store. I've got something better. I'm feeding on the manna. But thank God, when we get to heaven, we'll know him in all his fullness, and we're going to, from the glory, contemplate that pathway. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's appropriation, approval, a white stone, a white stone. I remember one time when I had to buy a white stone. My son came to me, Jimmy, he's in heaven now. He says, Daddy, will you buy a stone for me? I said, what kind of a stone? White stone. How do you want it? I want it in a ring. What do you want it for? I want to give it to Norma. What do you want to give it to Norma for? Because I want to be engaged to her. So I went to see the Rubuck. They sold them cheaper then. And when Norma had that white stone, which hand do you have it on? I have that one. Not that one, this, that one here. When Norma had that white stone on her finger, I said, well, Jimmy approves of it. Of course, I know there's another casting ballot, you know, the white stone means, but it's the same thought, approval, approval, approval. And he's going to give us that white stone of approval. But listen, I got to get this in before I close. I'm not going to finish my sermon, you see that. In that white stone, a new name written. That's appreciation. When you receive a name different than your name, it means that whoever gives you that name, it's intimacy, but it's also interest in you, and they're expressing, you know, did you ever call your loved one honey? That's a new name. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by honey? I was visiting one Sunday afternoon, and I came along on the side of the night, heard a woman calling her husband a name that she didn't call him when she was courting him at all. And so I ducked beneath the window and walked around the block and came back when she called him his right name. But why did she call him? That was what she thought of him. Am I wrong or right? Or didn't I get that across? Maybe I didn't. But a new name means what I think of you. Simon, you're Peter. Abram, you're Abraham. Barnabas, listen. When you and I get to glory, when he gives us that stone of approval, there will be a name in that stone. And when John Milton Mills gets to heaven and Peter Pell gets to heaven, I'll say to John, let me see that stone. Let me see what the Lord thinks of you. And you say, here it is. And you think I know what it is? And he won't know mine either. Now, why doesn't the Lord give you that name now? Because if the Lord would tell me, Peter, you're right, and Brother McKay's wrong, I'd go to him and say, see? Huh? One of the worst things I ever heard an elder say was when he didn't get his way. And he said to the other man, he said, when we get to heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll discover that I was right and you were wrong. I don't think he was right. But if he was, he'd never let anybody know. You just be content to do what the Lord wants you to do. And do not seek honor now. Do not seek approval now. Don't mind if you bear his reproach now. In that day, his commendation will be sufficient to satisfy and delight your heart forever and ever and ever. There will be a secret between you and the Lord. Why don't you like that? I do. Live to please him now. And then receive from him that new name that will express what he appreciated in you. I've got just half a minute. Is it right what I said? Do you believe it too, Brother Max? You believe it too? You're going to show me your new name when you get to heaven? I went to Lake Worth, in Florida. I went there and Barbara Culler came to me and said, Peter, when you were in Lombard, you told me something I never forgot. I said, what's that? That I'd have a secret in heaven and share it with the Lord. I'm so glad about that. There will be the public manifestation. Then shall every one of us, Peter tells about that, praise and honor and glory, praise from his lips, honor in the presence of the assembled host, glory with him forevermore. But I sort of like this secret between the Lord and myself, and treasure it forever. Sorry I couldn't give you all these pictures. How about the next time I get up here finishing my sermon? You want some more peeps into heaven? Time for you now.